Okay.
So I don't know how new these batteries are, if you want to say that.
Yeah, I'll keep them because they're still...
Yeah.
So let me just mention the topics for today. We have three topics for today. Two of them are in Perek Kol Shah, which we began about a week ago. And one is in the Leil HaSeder. The two topics in Kol Shah are, number one, the Bala Ma'or. The Bala Ma'or is a unique shita. We mentioned it in passing, that according to Rav Shimon, chametz on Erev Pesach is mutter b'achila. Not only is it mutter b'achila, according to the Bala Ma'or, it's even a mitzvah to eat it, because ein lecha hashbasa gedola mizu. So that's the subject of this simon, number lamed, in Ahare Kedem. Shitas Bala Ma'or be'inyan tashbisu mishay shos ulamal. And when we study the Bala Ma'or, because this, you know, the Bala Ma'or wrote this as a super commentary on the Rif, or a critique of the Rif, then we have to take a look at the Ravid, who wrote his comments on the Bala Ma'or on the Rif, in order to protect the Rif against the attack of the Bala Ma'or. Both the Ravid and the Ramban did that, each in his own style, and in this context, it's quite interesting.
Did you ever see the Bala Ma'or say something that wasn't off the wall? He
definitely has a beautiful, he's very creative mind. Very creative mind. And almost more than any other Rishon, he seems to have intrigued Rav Salvechik. Rav Salvechik was always intrigued by the Bala Ma'or. The second topic, which we touched on yesterday, but I'd love to really get into it today, is the Tosfos on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis about Esther Farhesya Esther Karkaola. And that's the mitzvah, that's the sugya of Kiddush Hashem and Yehar Gal Yavo. So that you'll find here, which I think you have the pages, if I'm not mistaken, pages 205 to 2, I think it's still 208. How many pages did you already receive?
Yeah, Sam was 208.
Till 208, okay?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
That one I don't have.
Don't have?
That's not online yet.
Right, that's not online. Is there an extra copy, maybe, you know, somewhere in the archives? I don't know. If not, I would give you mine, but I'm just still interested in reading it. So I'll pass it over to you if we don't find another copy that you can take a look at. And the third thing that I'd like to discuss with you in terms of the Leil HaSeder is the Kosos in terms not of Derecherus, which we said is a mitzvah shtia, but rather the Kosos in terms of Kosos Shel Bracha. And the Seder Aruch dedicates an entire chapter, Mem Dalid, to this dimension of the Dalid Kosos, which is Kosos Shel Bracha. And the chapter afterwards, we covered already more or less, at least the highlights of it, and that is the shear of the Kosos, the various possibilities, whether it's 86, 150 gram, and we spoke, if you remember, about the first two Kosos, and we had the Viyagin Moshe, and so forth, that the first two Kosos you have to double, so it shouldn't be Misitzayid, it should be Gores Ataiva, and the next two, you can split, you can diminish it by 50%. And then he has a chapter here called Seder. And why is it so critical that each one of the Dalit Kosos be drunk at the right time in the Seder? He then has a chapter called Mishen Lo Yayin, which is very fascinating. Are there any substitutes like what we call Chamra de Medina in the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos? And once again, he differentiates between the Dalit Kosos as a mitzvah Derecherus as opposed to the mitzvah of Koshel Bracha. And then he has an entire simon on the simone haseder. And it's really interesting because there are different versions of the simonim of the seder, and those are significant differences. Now, yesterday we touched on the question of what I call 1 minute to seven. That's my 1 minute to seven question. So, is it if Tzeis HaKochavim on the night of Pesach would be at seven, just an example, would you be able to recite Kiddush at 1 minute to seven? So, if you happen to recall, he says here in the Seder Aruch that there are three different reasons, this is on page Reish Pei Hei, why we would have to recite the Kiddush after nightfall. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the din in the Shtiyas HaKos, but it's also the din in the Amiras HaKiddush. One reason is based on the Taz. I'm not going to go over that now. We did that yesterday. The second reason, which was based on the Chazon Ovadia, Rav Ovadia Yosef, that has to do with what we call Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And then he finally has the third answer, which we thought was most challenging, in the name of the Me'il Tzedek, and that is that the Kiddush itself is a part and parcel of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Haggadah. So what I wanted to add to that as a comment to yesterday, because again, this is just one line as an addendum to yesterday, a postscript, is that based on this nusach of Rav Sadia Gaon, I begin to understand very well why Kiddush has to be recited after nightfall, meaning why it's integrated into the very fabric of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is because, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, almost all the dimensions of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim are included in the Kiddush.
In some way.
And the one that I wanted to emphasize to you yesterday was the Bechira of Klal Yisrael. That becomes like high profile in this perspective. I'll give you a few examples. He writes, not only Asher Kidshanu Mikol Am, V'Romanu Mikol Ashon, U'Bachar Banu, right? Yeah. But he has Vayigdalenu, Ratza Banu, Vayifarenu, Truma Hivdi Lanu Mikol Agoyim, Eretz Chem Dehinchil Osanu. He talks about the fact that our name is identified with the name of God. And he goes on to speak about all the Nisim and Niflos that God brought about for us. And that we are called the Skula, we are the Rishis of Kol Goyim. And it's just unbelievable. It's the most poetic description of Klal Yisrael. It's like another shir of Shlomo Melech, except here it's not a metaphor. It's pretty explicit. And he says, Vayikadshenu Kedushas Olam, Vayikarvenu Lifnei Har Sinai, Vayorishenu Divrei Chaim, Ksuvim Be'etzva Hadoro, and that's the Aseres HaDivros. All this makes Klal Yisrael unique. So according to Rav Sadia Gaon, at least, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to identify the uniqueness of this night, and how is this night different from all other nights, the Manishtana, the way Rav Soloveitchik explained it, but rather the uniqueness of this nation. Mm-hmm. And this is based, I think, again, I don't know, Rav Kasha usually quotes these sources, but it's based on a Zohar. Do you remember the Zohar about the Malachim coming down on Leil Pesach to hear this, the Sipur? Is this familiar? No? Let me just give it to you in a nutshell. According to the Zohar, on every Leil Pesach, Hashem calls together a gathering, you know, we call it the cabinet, he gets the cabinet together, of all the Malachim, the Ofanim, the Chayis HaKodesh, all the different types of Malachim, and he gives them a mission. He sends them down to earth to listen in on the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Klal Yisrael. And after they hear the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, they're called upon to go back up to Shamayim and report to God what they heard. And when they come back to God, according to the Zohar, back to the Holy Throne, they say two things. Number one, they start imitating Klal Yisrael and thanking Hashem for all the Nisim and the Gvuros and the flows of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then they speak about the praises of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem, you have a holy nation, thank you for creating such a nation, that this nation on this night is singing the songs of your praises, and they're discussing and telling over the great Nisim and Niflos of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have this special nation. And my ha'ara, I don't know if it's correct or not on this Zohar, is that what we're having here is a reversal of Kedusha, right? Our Kedusha means that the Malachim take the initiative and we imitate the Malachim. Right. And then we imitate the malachim. The malachim are able to recite kedusha because they see with an aspaklaya ameira. They get a close-up vision. Here on the night of the Seder, it's just the opposite. We take the initiative, and the malachim are imitating us. And they're being mishabeach the shvachas that they heard down on earth. In fact, you've heard of a sefer called the Bnei Yisoskar. So based on the Zohar, the Bnei Yisoskar says that's why we wear a kittel on the night of the Seder. Because the Ramos says in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim that the kittel of Yom Kippur, I'm talking about, is the begadim of the malachim. That malachim were white begadim. So we're like the malachim on Yom Kippur. And the Bnei Yisoskar wants to take this a step further and say that on Lel Pesach we like the malachim. Why? Because the malachim have to come down and hear our secret Yisrael. They become secondary, they're kofuf to us. So we like the malachim, and they become guests at our Seder table, and they imitate us in Shemaim. So we have to wear the begadim of the malachim, which is another take on this concept of a kittel. You know, there's so many different perspectives on the kittel. And since the Zohar says that the Malachim sing the praises of Klal Yisrael, apparently that's also integrated into Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim, that we were sanctified with a kind of sanctity that we can now appreciate the sanctity of Leil HaPesach. So there are two Kedushas here. There's Kedushas Yisrael and there's Kedushas HaMoadim, Kedushas HaPesach. So I would think that if Rav was here and present today in our classroom, he would nod if we asked him, should we recite the Kiddush after Tzeis HaKochovim? Because the Kiddush itself is part of the fabric of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. He says, Bachar v'yom zeh mikol hayomim. This is the end of the party. After he speaks about the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've chosen this night amongst all the other nights. V'yirtzeh bo, and you have a certain ritzui. V'yikadsheu mikol hazmanim. I don't know how to make sense out of that, but he's saying that you sanctify this night more than any other zman. And what's the sanctity of this night? He says, Lios mehalim bo al pilei ma'asecha. That tonight is the night of Hilul. And this again supports what we've said a million and one times, that Hallel is a part of the fabric of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. So this night is a night of Hallel. Lo dia bo shahotzi Hashem es avodav mi Mitzrayim mi kura barzel. Lo dia bo, on this night we have to notify, we have to declare that we left Mitzrayim, we terminated our avdus in the kura barzel. And the Kura Barzel again is a concept that prepares us for Geula. So the Golus is a preparation for Geula. And on this occasion, we want to mention Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which I think again would indicate that the Kriyas Yamsuf is part and parcel of CPT's Shamayim according to Rav Sajigon. The Rambam completely omits any mention of Kriyas Yamsuf, because the Rambam holds the mitzvah is only the nisan of this night. And then he goes on to lodia ki bo asa nekamos boivehem, and what that means is he's referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, I think again that this is very tenuous, but I think he's referring to Kriyas Yamsuf. In other words, the Kiddush should mention Kriyas Yamsuf as well, because the ultimate nekama to oivenu is oh. I'm sorry. You know what? It's not a guess. What I just said is not speculative. Because in the next word, he says, Ubo shokat tzoreim bayom. I rest my case. Because when I read the Reisha, I didn't read the Sefer. So I said to myself, what in the Kovas is he talking about? Talking about the Eser Makas, culminating with Makas Bechoros. But then he says, Ubo shokat tzoreim bayom. So it's fascinating. The Rambam has no mention of Kriyas Yamsuf in the Haggadah, and the Rav Sajigo kicks off the Haggadah, the Kiddush itself mentions Kriyas Yamsuf. Ulodia ki bo as Hashem Elokeinu nisim ugvuros li'oavav v'niflos rabos l'bnei yedidav ki bono b'charta v'yosonu ki dashto mikol ad mo'adei kodshcha b'simcha sosa kadubu ato Hashem akadish yisov azmanu. He ends with the chassim. So it turns out that there are a number of chidushim here. Number one, that's if our premise is correct, that he's using Kiddush as the all-encompassing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's sort of like a cliff notes, you know, it's like a summary of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in one condensed form, and he integrates into Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim the shvach of Klal Yisrael in so many ways, how we are the chosen nation. And he speaks about the demus of Klal Yisrael. He says that we are like the Elyonim. He says nichbadim al kol ha'umos v'ziv pneim. He's describing Klal Yisrael kiziv hashemesh umared musam kimalachi hasharis. Unbelievable that we look like malachim when on this night, and that explains the Bnei Yisrael. I don't think he was aware of this. I don't think he had a copy of Rav Sajigon's Kiddush. I don't think so, but I think it's the same idea. And then the Rav Chaim says that on this night in Kiddush, we have to say that this happened tonight, and that's the bow that appears over and over again in the Kiddush, and that the Nekama Ta'ayvim. Now, the only bracha that I know of that Nekama Ta'ayvim is which bracha? The bracha that we recite after the Megillah.
Oh, yeah.
Hanotim Ravis Rivenu, etc. But now we have another bracha. Because Rav Sajigon's Kiddush mentions Nekama Me'oivayim. And you remember we said over the Vilna Gaon, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, right? It says, Tov Latzadik Talotz Kirya, and Abed Rishon Rina. That when we get to the level of Rina, when's Abed Rishon? And we get three explanations. One is because until our oivim go down, we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We're still very vulnerable. So again, the Mitzrayim sent us out, but you know they can start running around with the chariots, the 600 chariots. Right, the chariot was their secret weapon until they go down the end of the Yams. That's really the Sof HaGeula on one level. And the second point that we made is that if it's Rosh HaVetovlo, then it's very difficult to declare Kel Emuna Vein Ovel Tzadik V'Yosha. I mean, where's the Kel Emuna? Where's God? Where is God? You know what I'm saying? So there are a few bright spots in Jewish history, not too many, in which we see Abed Rishoyim and we see that God is actually the God of justice, Kel Emuna Vein Ovel, and he meets out punishment to the enemies. And the third dimension is what we call Yira Shamayim. And that was the Netziv. The Netziv says that Bavur Zeh in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Yira Shamayim. And where do we see this process that engenders Yira? When God, with all his power and might, he destroys the enemy. At that point, we are instilled with Yira Shamayim. But look, the Pasuk says, we say it every Wednesday, if I remember correctly, Kael Nekamos Hashem. Yeah. So God is Kael Nekamos. I don't know if I have to be embarrassed to say that Nekama is a big thing here, right? And that's what he says, Asa Nekama, Nekamos by Vayim. And the bracha that was formulated by Chazal of Anokem is Nikmasenu in the case of Amalek. I mean, you could say it's only a din in Amalek. Maybe that's a chiddush of Sajigon, that he wants to apply this even to Mitzrayim. But he says Oyveya. I just have one question. I mean, it's a very technical question, and it's as boring as sin, but I don't understand the shift in the Nusach HaGadah. What do I mean? Whenever he's talking, whenever he's using the standard formula of the Kiddush, he speaks in first person, in a plural first person, right? So Asher Kidshanu Mikol Amim, Roman Manu Mikol Hashem, Bachar Banu.
But then Oyveihem.
Oh, exactly. So you're up to my kash. Maybe you have an answer. I don't have an answer. But at the end of the Kiddush, when he gets back to the standard formula, Ki banu bacharta, it's in first person, Osanu ki dashta, Hinchaltanu. But in the middle, the entire long, long arichas here that he created, which is his own liturgical creation, it shifts over to third person. Mm-hmm. over and over again. I don't know why. You know, Lodiaki, what was the language here? Baharbo. I'm sorry, that's not a good example. Hotzi es avodav mi Mitzrayim, kivlu es malchuso, us and comes be oivehem. It's always they.
Mm-hmm. As if it's referring to a specific period of time.
So then it becomes they in third person. Does that make sense? I don't know. I mean, I'm not Yored Leomek Kavanoscha Kedosha. What do you mean that since it's what?
It's referring to the Mitzrayim in particular and exactly what happened there. Whereas the positive part is referring to the Am Yisrael B'chol HaDorot.
Let me just think about that. See, I mean, when he's talking about the Nisim that happened at that point, it's going to be them? I don't know. See if you can work it out. I mean, he says, you know, when he gets to the Nisim, he says, Vayas lanu Nisim ugvuros. Vayifrkenu mitzarenu. I don't know. Maybe you can make some sense out of it. I don't know.
I get a picture of it.
Yeah, take a picture of it. Now, first of all, he says that Dalit Kosos, each one has to be a Koshal Bracha. Therefore, you need something called Shtifa Vadocha. Is that what people do? No, people don't do this. So Rav Bose, today I'm going to talk to you like briskers. What do I mean by briskers? Like the briskers are known to be makvin on every Kosos Shal Yud until they drive you crazy, right? And I think he's making a good point over here. And he's saying that we have to, insofar as each one of the Dalit Kosos is a Koshal Bracha, and he quotes a Minhag Hasidim, and it's very interesting. I think this may be a Sephardic Minhag. No, he doesn't mean Hasidim with a Strimal. He means Hasidim means the pious ones. If you have a chance, Yechiel, can you look it up in footnote number 9? He quotes the Kaf HaChaim.
Number 9. You
have access to the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim will probably even be in HebrewBooks.org. I own a Kaf HaChaim. Yeah.
I'll try to find it.
If you can. Because he's claiming in the name of the Kaf HaChaim, listen to this, Lishtof uladiach kol dalid kosos. Afal pishem nikios. It's not a question that, a fly fell into my cup. Then for sure I need hadocha and shtifa. But he's telling you that even if I can guarantee you that the cups are clean, and Vos Artmir, what do I care if after I finish my course I pour wine into the same cups? So there's a little bit left over.
You're reading it yourself.
Yeah, it's my own germs, you know what I'm saying? So why should that bother me? Correct? B'shtifa v'adocha. Why did he shtifa v'adocha? And he says that according to the Kaf HaChaim, the Minhag Hasidim is that you have Marika and Adocha after every single cause.
There's a comment for the cause.
Correct. Yeah, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm not denying that maybe it's an extra tircha, but he's saying Afal Gavshem Nikios. That's the way he quotes it. Which is fascinating. We're not dealing with the level of Hechatimsa, of Mitzias. We're dealing with the level of Din. That Al Pi Din, it's a Kiyum in the cause.
I don't want to show my ignorance, but who's the author of
Oof, I should know that. I have a picture of him in my sukkah every year. But I'm not sure. I forgot his name.
Is he Ashkenazi or Sephardi?
No, he's a Sephardi.
So
he's as Sephardi as you can get, pure Sephardi. Balaji? Yeah, that makes
sense.
Because
I have a 1 volume Kavachayim from Balaji and I have 11 volume Kavachayim from Yaakov Sofer.
Yaakov Sofer.
That's the one they have.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one.
You want to buy one?
Yeah. Which Falaji? Is that Chaim Falaji?
Chaim Ben Yaakov.
Oh, he was. The Kaf HaChaim is big, but nothing. Chaim Falaji is as big as they come. So it's interesting. They only have one safe from Chaim Falaji. He was a prolific writer. Anyway, now listen to this. He says that Lidalid Kosos Yeshlikach Kosos Nos. So again, I would suggest, I'm not here to paskin, that disposable cups, maybe you use disposable cups all year round, but maybe on the night of the Seder we should be makbid to avoid that. He calls it Kosos Nos. Then he says, Balabais lo yimzog bi'atzmo, Elachar Yimzoglo Derecherus.
Only the Balabais?
Oh, so far he says only the Balabais. That's he's quoting the Ramon, Tophai, and Gimel.
Maybe he's being Motzi everybody.
Correct. Well, yes and no. He's being Motzi everyone in Koshal Bracha,
yeah.
But not in Shtia Derecherus. That every individual has to drink his own kos.
Right. That's why he
So that's why I would think if Meziga is a Kiyam and Cherus, that's what he says, it should apply to everyone at the table.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean you could argue maybe it's just a shinui, you know, because sometimes the poskim will say the shinui is only for the Baal Bais. Everyone else is yotzei the shinui with one shinui. But here I don't think it's a kiyum shinui. I think it's a kiyum of derech cheres. He says the following. Just one second. Now I'm not finding it. Just give me one second, I'm sorry. Dinshvel Bais, Mizigas Kos, fine. Yes, and Bois of Shane said, Hishi, Yelich, and Mizigas, Ishkos, Ishan. I don't know, I'm not finding it now, but I did see, maybe not here or elsewhere, that everyone should have someone else pour the cup. And you know what? I'll tell you, if I didn't find it explicitly, at least I find it implicitly. And this is footnote number 19. He says that a husband should not be pouring for his wife if she's a nida. I mean, that seems to indicate that everyone at the table, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because until now, anything break over there? Yeah, I'm so nervous that this thing, as soon as I hear its noise, I think maybe it broke. He says the following, that there should be a Meziga Sakos for the Isha, but if she's a Nida, it's a problem. I mean, you have to know the Dinim of Nida over here.
Why is it just Nida? Why is it? Isn't it just because the Isha should be pouring for her Baal or anything? Because she owes him that degree of respect.
I'm not sure how that works, but what he's saying is the following: if she's a nida, then A, he says he should not be pouring, she should not be pouring for him, and B, he says that he should not be pouring from her. Again, you have to go through all the sources here in Hilchas Nida. I'm not here to learn with the Hilchas Nida, but I just was using it as a remez to the fact that it seems that the mezika was done for the isha, right, on the husband on behalf of his wife. If that be the case, then we're not limiting it to, because in the first paragraph he says Acherim Yimzigu LeBalabayis, and she's not the Balabayis, so why is he pouring it for, not for the fact that she's a need. Anyway,
I have the couple of times you want to
hear. Yeah, what does he say about Shtifa V'Adoch?
Well, that's so bad. Dalit shekasadnu glufi das hazor hakadosh v'atikunim because of brachas amazon zor hadacha shtifa filu imunaki.
That's what we.
Mikomakom tov shielo kos. Excuse me. Yellow kli malay main somach l'shulchan kidei lishtov ladiach hakosos ben kos l'kos. Say that maracha tosus chayim achayodem sham.
So just two quick points here. He's talking about all kosos. He's not just talking about the rishon. I mean, he quotes the chayodim only the rishon because then it's only nikiyus. But he requires, well, I shouldn't say requires, but he advocates in favor of shtifa and adoch between each kos. That's point number one. Point number two is that he seems to be basing himself on the Zohar. And clearly the Zohar is not operating with dini nikiyus. You follow my point?
Yeah.
So when the Seder Aruch says Afilu Hem Nikios, that Yesh Abilisro, he didn't just invent this in his mind.
Right.
It's a piece of lumbus. Again, now, what the Zohar is talking about might be LP Kabbalah, I don't know.
The Zohar talked about only Berks and Muslim. He didn't talk about the second and fourth.
But he uses it. No, he extrapolates. Right. Because his analogy is that in Berks and Muslim, it's not a din in the Kiyus, according to the Zohar, and therefore, you need Shtif of Adachi, despite the fact that it's Noki.
That maybe because you use
it. Well, but again, you know, it seems like this was actually done. You know, we call it Tirchat the Tzibur, but he seems to assume that, again, check the Yemenites. I wouldn't be surprised if they had such a minute. He was not a Yemenite. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is it possible that because the third kos, maybe you used that kos during the Shulchan Orech, and you now
it got filthy or something.
Get it back to the state of Kosho Bracha.
Because he used it during the Suda. So it lost its status. Very nice. I like that. That's a good piece of lumdus. Now again, he goes on to say that there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim as far as Bori Priya Gofen. And this, we've discussed this at great length, that Bnei Ashkenaz have a Bori Priya Gofen on each one of the four Kosos,
yeah,
and the Sfaradim only have it on the first and the third Kos. Aval al kol shni uruvias ein mevorchim. Oh, he says that asfarim she'ena mevorchim al kol shni anochon she'ichavi bekiddush bor priagofim liftar es habrocha al kos hashniya b'chein lechavi b'kosol b'kos hamazon liftar es hakos haruvias. Okay, it's a nice, shall I say, lechatchila kind of thing, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I mean, the fact, he's not stupid. He knows he's going to drink a second kos. He knows he's going to drink the fourth kos. But okay, it's a good idea to have it in mind. Okay. Now he has a whole section, which I think we've covered in the past. I'm not going to go over it, of Madua Ein Mevarchim Birchas HaMitzvah Al Arba Kosos. Do you remember that? I hope you remember. We spent a lot of time on that. And then he goes into the question of drinking it bevasachas without a hefsek of shehiya. And what do you do if there was a shehiya in the middle of the shtiya and you haven't yet drank, you didn't drink yet a revius or not even a rov revius and you had a shehiya, how are you going to be tzarif the beginning to the end? Okay, then we have a discussion about four cups if he drinks them consecutively. And that's where we stopped. Okay, so let me just put a marker here so I know where we're up to. And that's that. Okay. Now let's talk about Tosvis Dibra Maschil Af on Daf Chof Hei Amid Beis in Perikol Shor. Tosvis says that, before he quotes the Ri, that a Niv'eles is not included under the din of Yehari Val Yavor. And therefore the girsa of our Gemara, Tehari Val Tavor, is an incorrect girsa, and you have to change it from female to male. It's Yehari Val Yavor. She's a Niveles. And if she's a Niveles, then there's no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem for the Niveles. Period. Without any exception to the rule. And therefore, in the case of Esther, the Gemara in Sanhedrin doesn't even blink an eye, doesn't even raise the problem of Kiddush Hashem, meaning of Yehari Val Yavor, of Gilui Arayos. Instead, the Gemara has to introduce the problem of Farhes. The Ri in Tosus, on the other hand, says that there's no difference here between a Boel and a Nivellus. The Nivellus is no less guilty of being an accomplice to Gilui Arayos than the Boel, and therefore she also has to give up her life. The only thing is, it depends upon Kumva Seh or Shevi Alta Seh. And therefore, it depends what the Ma'ane said to her. If she's passive, then she would be allowed to, so to speak, submit herself, agree to have the Gilui Arayos done to her. But if she's active, Tovo Es Ha'erva Olai, right, Olayich, then according to the Ri, she has to give up her life.
And what is the relationship between Kiddush Hashem and Farhesia? Is Farhesia a requirement for Kiddush Hashem to take place, Or is there even Kiddush Hashem below Befarim
and Betzinah? Even Betzinah is Kiddush Hashem for the three Averus Chamuros. And that's how the Rambam opens up. We had a Rambam here yesterday. I'm not sure if we put it back on the shelf. And the Rambam says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim L'Kadesh Yishmo HaGadol, etc., etc. And then the Rambam asks, Ketzad? And he goes through the three levels. Level number one is the Gimel Averus Chamuros Betzinah. Level number two is Shara Averus Befarhesiyah. Level number three is B'Shas Hashmad Afilo Arkas of the Misane. Now, at this point, Rav Soloveitchik wants to analyze the Shita of Abaye and then the Shita of Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin Ayin Dal and Amud Beis. Let's go over the question. Why does the Gemara say Va Esther Farhes Yahavi? Why did the Gemara ask the question Va Esther Giriyarayas Havi? Comes along Abaye, and Abaye says Karka Olam. Says Tosus, Karka Olam is a big, big chiddush, and Rav is going to reject that chiddush because we're talking farhes. Meaning, if we were talking about the avera b'tzinah, then karka olam would be upgaret. It would be pshita. Why? Says Rav Soloveitchik, because there's a difference between gili arayis and shara averus b'farhes. In the case of Gili Arayas, which is one of the three Averas Chamuros, here you can differentiate between Kuva Aseh and Shevi Altaseh. The Chumras Avera is when you actively violate one of these three Averas. But if you're passive about it, that's a whole different quality of a lower quality, lower case violation of those Averas. That was Pshita in the Gemara. Says Abaye, but what about Farhesia? Farhesia is Shara Averus. And Rav Soloveitchik says that Shara Averus would include even an Aseh, a Bittul Mitzvah Aseh. It means that there's no Chumras Avera here, but rather you're submitting to the will of the Ma'anes, and he's convinced that in a decision between serving God and saving your life, you would rather save your life than serve God. That's Kiddush Hashem. It's not the Ma'is Avera. And therefore, if you're submitting to him, what difference does it make whether you're Karka Olam or not? You know, as soon as you say, okay, do what you have to do, I want to survive, I want to live, you've already given him the impression that what's more important to you, what's paramount in your system of values, is your life. Right. That itself creates Kiddush Hashem, despite the fact that you're a Shevi Altaseh. So that Shevi Altaseh, otherwise known as Karka Olam, is a mitigating factor, says Rav Soloveitchik, when it's the Chumas Avera that generates the Kiddush Hashem. But if it's not the Chumas Avera, like for example Farhesia, which includes even a Bittul Esei, then it's got to be the issue of submitting to his will. There are two wills here, right? There's a will with a small W and there's a will with a capital W. And you've got to decide where your allegiance is. You've got to decide in the hierarchy which your life, how much is it worth to you? Is it worth to you for the sake of your life to submitting to his will with a small W, even if it means violating the will of God? Or are you making a decision that you're willing to give up your life? You don't want to violate God's will in any situation, as far as it might be, it doesn't matter. There's a shmek of a violation of the will of God. So here's where the Gemara thought, and that's a Abaye Shita, that Karka Olam is not a Dover Pashut. Karka Olam could be a Dover Pashut if you would have asked the question of Esther Gili Arayas Havi. The Gemara never even raised that question. The Gemara understood that this is not the real McCoy Gili Arayas. This is a second level of Gili, second tier Gili Arayas. It's like if you have a, you know, you have the first, you know, you have the basketball team, what is five people on the team, right? And then you have the people on the bench, where you have the pitcher in the bullpen, right? So this is already, this is taking from the bench. Why? Because she didn't actively involve herself in Gili Arayas. That reduces the Gili Arayas. That's as far as Chumras Avera B'tzinah is concerned. But what about Farhesia? Even if I tell you that Shevi Altaseh mitigates to some extent the level and the severity of the Avera, but it still is no worse than Shara Averos, and if it falls into the general pot of Shara Averos, then if it was Farhesia, then the din is Yehari Val Yavar, and that's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is not generated by what? By the Avera? but rather it's generated by the fact that you're willing to submit yourself in order to save yourself. You're going to violate the will of God. Oh, if that be the case, there's no difference between kuvase and shevi altase. That was the Gemara's kasha. Va'esther farhes yahavi. The Gemara knew very well the karkolim, but esther karkolim would only help me if you're talking about gila rights. But it's not going to help me if you're talking about farhesia. You know, Rashi tries to figure out why it's farhesia. I mean, did she actually have relations with Achashverosh farhesia? Were they had cameras? What would they have over there? The answer is that everybody knew that she was getting married to Achashverosh, and that's what he was interested in, if you follow him. So Abayi comes up with an amazing chiddush that even with regard to Shara Veris b'farhesia, we have a mitigating factor of Karka Ola. There are two ways of submitting to the will of the Ma'anis. One is to say, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to be Baal in Erva, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah. And the other is to say, you know what? I'm out of here. You do what you have to do, I'm not getting involved. You know, that's called Karka Ola. I don't know exactly what the mitzvah of Karka Ola is. Does Karka Ola mean that she says to him, you know, nothing, you know, it's just absolute silence, you know, do what you have to do, I'm like a boar, you know, it's just totally a victim, I'm a chefzen, not a gavra. If that's what it means, then Abayi's chiddush is somewhat plausible. You know, again, Rava doesn't like it, but Abayi likes it. Why? Because Abayi says that's not really submitting to his will, that's making no decision whatsoever. And Tosis now, based on Karka Olam, goes back to the source. And he says that if you would submit yourself to a person, and by doing so you kill someone, you're allowed to do so, to save your own life. So he tells you, don't move from the ledge of the roof. You will fall. The wind is going to blow you down. Or I'll push you off the ledge of the roof, and you're going to kill a baby on your way down. And if not, if you don't submit yourself, if you start giving me trouble and kicking up a storm, I'm going to knock your block off. The Tos says you don't have to do anything. Just do nothing. My chazis didonot the chaver sumach tvei dimadonot the dach sumach tvei. So we don't know whose blood is redder. Do nothing. Let nature take its course. So it's a fantastic chiddush of Tos. Is Mevel, if we take that and we equate it to Gili Arias, she could say, I'm Karkol. You know, she doesn't have to say anything. You know, she just lets nature take its course. And the source of that is Ritzicha, because if you remember the Gemara here in Pesachim derives Gili Arias from Ritzicha. He says, B'yeser Biur. Bechilu Kanal, this is the middle of page 205. Hinei legabi tzir de farhesia. Shemiskavin ha'one ha'anos lahavir al das. Okay, so this is the requirement of Rava. Rava says that when do you have to give up your life be farhesia for other averos? That's only if his kavana was lahavir al das. That's not the case in Achashverosh. He was the least interested in that. He didn't even know she was Jewish. Hare kol averis bichlal v'itochid afilu bitol aseh v'in kein ein chilut b'dover zeh b'edem hu kub aseh b'edem hu sheh v'alt aseh toh ein kad maisa averim misuyemes afilu b'bitol aseh. He has to give up his life. Yehor gal yav. Fine. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah. In obviously Perek Hey, that's the Perek of Kiddush Hashem. V'tzarech Iyun. The Rambam's language is very ambiguous. He says, amongst one case is that the Anos tells you to violate the Shabbos, and here the Rambam says that it depends on why he did so. If he wanted to get some benefit from your Chil Shabbos, that's called Hanos Atzmo, and then you wouldn't have to give up your life for Shara Veros. If on the other hand he wants you to violate the Shabbos, then that's called Lavur El Das, and you'd have to give up your life, even though it's Shara Veros, if it's Parhesio. And then the Rambam gives the case very vague. O Anos, Anas Isha, Libala. Well, who is this Isha? Is she married? Is she not married? Tzarech Iv. What's the Rabbi talking about? Anas Isha Labala. Hayim Mairi Bipnuya or Bieshis Ish. Is it Tzir Bieshis Ish? Hani Gila Rais Mamish. And the Rabbi is classifying this as Shara Veros. So, Lachor, you're talking about a Pnuya. Mikomakom, Kola Rama. Anas Isha, Danuishis Ish Labala, Bechal Shar Mitzvahs. How could that be? Now, I'm not sure if we have the Frankel edition of the Rambam, you can take a look at the Sefer HaMafteach. He'll probably tell you that there are those who will interpret that the Rambam is referring to a Pnuya. If it's a Pnuya, if she's a Pnuya, then obviously it's Shara Averus. Exactly what the Averus Pnuya is, I don't know. If it's Kedeshus, if it's a Bittul Mitzvah Peri Verivya, not clear. We don't really have a grasp on exactly what the lav of Pnuya is. Probably it's Kedesha, but the Rav wants to assume that the Isha here that the Rambam is referring to is an Eishes Ish. If it's an Eishes Ish, why is this called Shara Veros? So he says the following: Kol Rambam Eishes Ish lebala b'chlal Shara Hamitzvus. The Rambam Sover Kitosvis, the Gili Arayis, Sheva Altase, Vesheva Altase, Eina Neheregis. Whoa, that's against Rav Chaim. Let's see, the Rav is suggesting the following, that according to the Rambam, Karka Olam is going to mitigate the Halach of Gili Arayis. Wow. I have to see the Rambam inside. I apologize. I should have. Yesterday we had a Rambam here, but you know what? There may be.
I think it's a Rambam.
Oh, there it is.
But isn't that the Esther story? That she was mitigating her Gilead rights. I'm not sure what was the condition. Isn't that what Abai was saying? That the reason she could do what she did is because she was quite old? Isn't that what the
Rambam
says?
Well, here's the deal. The Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzvah Hashem HaGadol, etc., etc. And the Rambam says, Ketzad. And he says the following. Kishiyamod Ove Kochom V'yanos Es Yisrael Lavar Al Achas Mikol Mitzvah Samuris by Torah. So this is Shar Mitzvahs. And he hasn't yet mentioned Farhesia, so let's assume it's Bitsino. Is Yavar of the Al Yehore. Okay, so we're talking so far Shar Mitzvahs Bitsino.
Is it Shaskzera?
No. Shaskzera comes, I think, in Aloha Dalit, I'm not sure. Wherever it is. Oh, says the Rambam. But Mevar and Vurim is Shar Mitzvahs, Chutz Me'avodas Kochom, Vigilia Rice, and Shrikas Don. Aval Elu Sholosh. Aval Sholosh Averos Elu. Okay. In Yomar lo Avar al Achas mehen O Tehareg. Yehareg val Yavar.
Not Tehareg. Yehareg.
Very strange. I mean, he says Tehareg and then he says Yehareg. I don't know. So again, I didn't get a chance to look through. I'm sure there's a lot of literature in the back of the Frankel edition. But let's leave that. I just want to get the basics now. Yeah? So he says the following. The Rambam says that in Sholosh Averos is then Yehor Gal Yavah, correct? Okay. Now, the Rambam goes back to Halacha Aleph. What do we say in Halacha Aleph? That if it was Shar Averos, then the din is Yavah V'al Yehor. Says the Rambam, that's only Bizman Shah Oved Kochovim is Kavim Lanos Atzma. So now he's quoting, he's passing like Rava. Okay, so what the Rambam is going to give now is going to give two examples of Shar Averos. Okay, Shar Averos. I'm looking for the word Farhesi here, I'll get back to it in a second, but. Shar Averos Lahanos Atzman. Right? So what he's saying is that when I told you in Halacha Aleph that in Shara Veros the law is Yavar V'Al-Yehoreg, that's only if the guy is Lanos Atzmo Komacham. Kigon. So now the Rambam gives two examples. Sha'ansu Livnos Lo Bayis B'Shabbos. That's one example, Lanos Atzmo. And the second answer, the second example is O Onas Isha Lebo'ala. So that's the question. Who is this Isha, right? If it's now, earlier the Rambam says that in Shar Mitzvahs, I'm sorry, that Yavar Le'Ayahog is in Shar Mitzvahs, but if it was Gimel Averos, the Rambam says you have to give up your life. Does the Rambam say anything about Karka Olam here? So that's where Reb Chaim makes this big, big deal about this. If I'm not mistaken, it's the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer. That since the Rambam doesn't qualify and make a distinction between the Baal and the Veles, between Karka Olam and not, apparently even if she's Karka Olam, she would have to give up her life. So now you'll ask about Esther. Right? So you'll tell me, well, okay, no problem, because Esther was Karka Olam. Yeah, but according to the Reb Chaim's understanding the Rambam, then Esther is got to give up a lot. So Reb Chaim, if I remember, offers one of two answers. Either that Esther was not married to Mordechai, or that Achashverosh is Zirma Susim Zirmasam, and that's not called Gili Arayis. I mean, I have the Reb Chaim is right here in the next room, but
isn't there a difference because he's a guy?
That's what I'm saying. That the second answer of Chaim is that the Rambam holds that since he's a guy, that's called Zirma Susim Zirmasim. Yeah. There's no din of Gilei Arayis as far as the argument about Yavah.
Yeah.
Okay. But now the Rambam is saying something totally different. He's suggesting that when the Rambam gives an example of Shara Veros, his example is that of an Eishes Ish. Right? So Salvation asks, so what do you mean? If it's an Eishes Ish, that's not Shara Veros, that's Gilei Arayis. So he says that the Rambam Sober Ketosvus, the Megilei Arayis, Shevi Altaseh, Eina Nehreges. Again, if I was Rabbi Kahn, I would have written Ayin Reb Chaim, because that's against Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim has been, excuse me, has been dying from the Rambam. That in Eishes Ish and Gilei Arayis there's no difference between Karka Olam and not Karka Olam. And Reb Chaim built a whole shir on that, a whole thesis on that. So I just added, if you know, I'm going to write it Delo Kagrach. Okay. Now, the Re says that there's a difference between Kuvah Se and Shevi Altase. But again, before the Re came along, there was just a nafkamina between a bowl and a novellus. And it matters not whether the novellus is kuvase, you know, tovi yaserva alayich, or she shevi altas, karkol. Okay, now we're up to the last line on the page. Okay, let's take a deep breath. Here it gets a little bit challenging. Or maybe very challenging. He named the divrei Ari nira levayer the ein zed din pikuach nefesh doche ritzicha ella the yeshkan shnei pikuach nefesh. Okay, so let's see what we can understand so far. What did you say, Yosef?
No, I'm just reading.
Yeah. Okay. So just let's read. I'm slowing down. Why? Because I think you have to give a little bit more of a background here. The Re distinguishes between Kuvase and Shevi Altas. Hence, according to the Re, Gilei Arayis for Yehorik Val Yavor would depend upon whether she's passive or she's active. That's what it says in the Re. is memela. The Ri asks himself, where do I have a source for this? And the answer is Ritzicha. Right? Because the whole din of Yehori Val Yavar in Gila Rice is derived from Ritzicha. So Ritzicha becomes the paradigm. And in the case of Ritzicha, you have the Mais Chazis. And the Mais Chazis tells you to be passive. Correct? So you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to fight with the Anos and end up dying. Because my cousin, who says his blood is redder than yours, so all you have to do is be passive. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say the following: if the din would be that pikuach nefesh, just 1 second. Oh, l'chora, in the case of Shevi Altas, he's a rotzeach. And yet, the Ri says he doesn't have to give up his life. So what does it mean he's a rotzeach? It means he violates the avera of Ritzicha. He does not do so actively, he does so passively. So we have to ask ourselves the following question. If he violates the Isur Ritzicha, then how is he allowed to do so? I mean, we have a principle of Vachaymahim, but Vachaymahim doesn't apply to Ritzicha. So he says the following, that Vachaymahim also applies to Ritzicha. That Ritzicha is, that Vikuach Nefesh is Doch even Ritzicha. Nor was. But Yeshkan Shnei Pikuchei Nefesh. There's a Vikuach Nefesh of the Rotzeach, if he submits, and there's a Vikuach Nefesh of the Nirtzach. So what are you going to do now? The Torah says v'chai b'hem, but I got a problem. Who's v'chai b'hem? Is it his v'chai b'hem or his v'chai b'hem? So that's going to be the din of Yehari Val Yavar. Not because there's no v'chai b'hem in Ritzicha. There is a v'chai b'hem in Ritzicha. V'chai b'hem overrides, trumps any avera in the Torah and Ritzicha no less than any avera. But the problem is, how do you apply v'chai b'hem? You're stuck with another v'chai b'hem. That's what I think he means here. Yesh kan beis pikuach nefesh shalom b'shalah acher. Is therefore, says the Ri, what do you do when you have a stalemate between one pikuach nefesh v'chai b'hem and the other pikuach nefesh v'chai b'hem? Is lo yasa klum? He doesn't do anything. And I think, again, if I could add a footnote here, even though in doing nothing he violates Ritzicha, for Desvegen, Pikuach Nefesh is okay. Why? Because he's not doing anything. Because the Pikuach Nefesh, it takes me north. It takes me to nowhere. The Yesh Tarti the Sasri Ben Shnei Pikuchei Nefesh V'Sheivat Asa Odiv. And that's the Svar of Miyemar. For lo stam the aim pikuach nefesh docha ritzicha. No, pikuach nefesh should be docha ritzicha. And therefore, even if he's a rotzeach, I would still apply pikuach nefesh. But the only thing is, he can't do that, because how can you apply pikuach nefesh for your nefesh and not pikuach nefesh for his nefesh? So do nothing. But it could be that in doing nothing, you're considered a rotzeach and you violate the isur ritzicha. Makes no difference. Pikuach nefesh is docha ritzicha. That's pretty wild. I mean, I'm telling you, if you walked out in the street and you told any yeshiva bocha that pikuach nefesh v'chai b'hem is docha ritzicha, he would tell you off your rocker. But then Achkamina is going to be in the case where you violate ritzicha b'shevi altasen, you're allowed to do so because of v'chai b'hem. Halacha l'maisa. And that's Shitas Ari, in Tosfos, that if a person is given two options, he can either be a passive rotzeach or he's going to be killed, he's allowed to be a passive rotzeach. And I think I mentioned to you the Chazanish. The Chazanish says, what's a passive Ritzicha? And that's the case of Isho Mishum Chitzav. That if he's up on the roof and he positions himself at the end of, you know, the ledge. He's at the ledge of the roof and he knows that the wind is going to push him over the roof. That's called a Ruach Mitzuya. So that's the case in the Masech Bava Kama of Hiniach Avno Sakinam Asoa Rosh Gago. The Naflu Baruch Mitzuya, and he's Chai Mishum Adam Amasik. Why? Why is he Chai Mishum Adam Amasik? After all, he didn't jump off the roof. The wind pushed him off the roof. That's called Isha Mishum Chitzo. So now if he falls on the baby and kills the baby, he's a ritzich, he's a rotzeach. Why? Because isha mishum chitza. Again, you could always ask, what if somebody else put him up on the top of the roof? If they physically lifted him and placed him on the ledge of the roof, that's a whole different story. Then he's not the rotzeach. Then the person who put him there is rotzeach. Well, let's say, right? Now this would be complicated. What would the Reis say if the guy, if they told him he's got to move to the ledge of the roof? Would that be an act of ritzich? The act of setting himself up there? I would say yes. I don't know. That's my intuitive sense. Umemela mitoch zeres hakosim demakish gila rais ritzicha gam begila rais. I think what he's saying here in this Gzeres HaKosuv, why is he introducing Gzeres HaKosuv? You know, when any member of the Soloveitchik family says Gzeres HaKosuv, he means something serious. That's not just a phrase. You know, Gzeres HaKosuv means you're dealing with legal laws and rules and regulations that don't fit into any logical, but this is the way the Torah said it. You know, blow a shofar shalayim, I don't know. I think what he's bothered by is that I could understand the logic in Ritzicha that you have one pikuach nefesh against the other, and therefore hence shevi alta, said do nothing. You can't apply v'chaibahem to save your life. But I don't understand the case of Gila Reyes. Tell me one way or the other. Which is heavier on the scale? Which is more severe? Is it Gila Reyes or is it Pikuach Nefesh? So you're telling me Shevi Altas. What do you mean Shevi Altas? There's no Shivyon here. There's no, you know, there's no Shavah B'Shavah. How do you say it in English? You know, there's no scale. What's it called with the scale?
Balance.
There's no balance over here. In the case of Ritzicha, you have a perfect balance. You've got Reuven and you got Shimon. Both are Vikuach Nefesh, both are Vachai Bohem. So then I can understand Shevi Alta. So you can't make that decision. But in the case of Gilead Rice, you got to give me an answer. Is Vikuach Nefesh Docha Gilead Rice or is it not? If it's not, then I would say that what's the difference between Shevi Alta and Kuvaseh? The whole theory of Karka Olam falls to the wayside. If on the other hand you're going to tell me that Gili Arayis is that Fachaybem is Docha Gili Arayis, so even in Kuvaseh we should allow a man to have a relationship with a woman to save his life because of Bikuach Nefesh. The whole structure makes no sense. That's what I think he means by Gzeres HaKos. That the Hekesh itself, that the Torah says, you know, what's the pasuk there? Kena Dorazeh, whatever the first part of the pasuk is, that the Torah equates Ritzicha with Gila Reyes, is the Torah saying that you take a formal structure and a mechanism for deciding the law, and you're going to superimpose it even in a place where it doesn't make any sense. Why? Because that's the Gzeres HaKosuv. The Torah equated Gila Reyes with Ritzicha. So I'm going to do something in Gila Reyes, I'm going to pass it in a way that makes no sense. It's just mechanical. The Shevi Alta Sesfara of Karka Olam in Gila Reyes is purely mechanical. It's a Gzeres HaKosuv. It's a legal, how should I say, modus vivendi. You know, that's how the law works. It has nothing to do with logic. If you go back to Ritzicha, very logical. I don't know whose life to save. So Pikuach Nefesh is going to bring me to a brick wall. So you know what you do? Shevi Altas. Then he says, "Al Rabbeinu Adayin Tzarech Iyun." The Rav is not happy. Dov Gilui Arayis Ain Stira Kazos Kimoshi Yesh. Oh, that's more, maybe that's what we were saying, but he just finished saying Zeres HaKosuv. So I don't know. V'tirets Rabbeinu. Did Tzarech Lomid the Tosis the Alfinon Gili Arayis Mishvichas Domim the Yesh Sofek Ashokul? So now he introduces the concept of Sofek Ashokul. It's a very strange Sofek Ashokul, Rav Osa, because the Sofek Ashokul here is in the eyes of Almighty God. I mean, God God was confused about this? I mean, what does it mean? Safek Hashakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the answer to the following question: which is greater, Pikuach Nefesh or Gilui Arayos? Well, what's the Safek Hashakol here? I think what the Rav means is that we treat it like a Safek Hashakol. That Halacha says, treat this case as if it was a Safek Hashakol. As if Gilui Arayos is just as powerful as V'chai Bohem. Just as severe as V'chai Bohem. That if you put V'chai Bohem and Gilui Arayos on the scale, they equilibrialize each other. Okay. Now he says, Yesh Ba'aya B'Gemara Sof Perek Ben Sor Mordaf Ayin Dalav Beis Iben Noch Mitzuva Limsar Nafsha. So let's just think about this for a moment, Rabosa, before we go on. You've got V'chai Bohem, and you have, let's say, Gimel Averis Chamurus, or in the case of Ben Noach, you have Sheva Averis Chamurus. So what are you going to do? So you're going to tell the guy that he has to give up his life rather than violate any of the Sheva Mitzvahs. Correct? That's called Goy Mitzvah V'Kiddush Hashem. So again, it doesn't mean that the mitzvah V'Nigdashti V'Toch B'nai Yisrael applies to the Goy. I mean, after it says B'nai Yisrael. And not only that, there are only seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I last time I counted. So I think what it means is that there's no heter of V'Chai Bohem for a Goy. That when the Torah says V'Chai Bohem, it was addressing B'nai Yisrael. So it works like this. If not for the pasuk v'chai bohem, what would have been the law? What's the chiddush that's inherent in v'chai bohem?
You would not be allowed to violate.
Violate what?
Anything,
exactly. Any of the Tariq mitzvahs.
Right.
I couldn't care less. You choose what you call a mitzvah kala in your eyes. You know, shiluk hakah, I don't know what your mitzvah kala is. And or sukkah, I don't know, whatever you say. And I'm going to tell you, you got to give up your life. Why? Because the Torah says you have to sit in sukkah, whether you like it or not. Comes along the Torah and says, v'chai bohem. Who is the Torah addressing? Klal Yisrael. What happens in the case of Ben Noach? He doesn't have a Chai Bohem. So we go back to square one. And square one means you can't violate any of the laws, and therefore Goy Mitzvah B'Kiddush Hashem. But again, it doesn't mean Kiddush Hashem in the mitzvah sense. It means in the operative sense, meaning the Ahari Val Yavor is going to apply. U'minamon Yesh Raya She'edu Mechuyu. You remember that Naaman was the one who just 1 second. You're right, right. No, just give me a second. What did Elisha? Just I want to get the facts on the ground for a second. I'm sorry. That's it. That Naaman was like the chief of the army. What do you call it? The how do you say it in English? The head of the army. The commander. What is it called?
Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah. So of the king of Assyria, and he had to join him in what was the name of that temple? The Torah, the Tanakh tells you. I forgot the name of the temple. Anyway, he had to go to the temple, and he had to bow down to the idols. So the question is, you know, is he allowed to do so? So he sent this question to Elisha. Elisha became his rebbe because Elisha was the one who cured him from leprosy, right? Seven times in the Yarden and all that. So he comes back to Elisha with a Shiloh Tshuva. It's the first Shiloh Tshuva in Goyish history. And Elisha says to him, it's okay, you're allowed to do it. So you see that, and that's what the Gemara wants to derive from Naaman, that you're allowed, there's no mitzvah of Yeharik Val Yavah. Says the Mishnah Melech, that applies to Avodah Zarah, right? He had to join him in the temple over there. And it applies even to Gilui Arayos, because Gilui Arayos is derived from Avodah Zarah. And now we're saying that those two do not apply to whom? To a guy. Again, there's Gilui Arayos and there's Avodah Zarah by a guy too, but not in the case of Pikuach Nefesh. Avo b'shvichas damim ha-reizu svara v'shayach gam bi'akum. Rabosi, did you ever hear of a more brilliant chiddush than this? This is the Mishlei Melech. I mean, it's such a solid piece of logic. I mean, if I could, I would kiss him on the forehead for this. You know, if his turban wouldn't fall on my head. Anyway, his name was Roznas. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Yaakov Roznas. He was a Turkish Jew. That goes back 3 centuries ago. More, probably. That the Gemara's conclusion that a guy is allowed to submit himself and save his life rather than violate, that only applies to Gila Reis and Shvichas Dom. It does not apply to Ritzicha. So Rav Salvechik says, I'm a Loshen Aramam who al achas mi mitzvosov. Okay, so for this we have to open up a different chelik in the Rambam, which I don't have here, which is in Sefer Melachim, and the Rambam's language is sasum, stam. It's a stam language. You know, the Rambam says alachas mi mitzvosov, and the Rambam says he doesn't have to give up his life. Achas mi mitzvosov would imply that all of 7, and one of the 7 is ritzicha. How would that work out according to the Mishnah of Melech? Behine a Rambam posatim avar v'lo mosar nafsho. Is he eno nenach, right? He doesn't get punished. Mikomakomu onus. Now let's just think, what does this have to do with Ben Noach? Hine ram pasaktiyim ovar velo masad nafsho mikomakomu onus velo pirish mishum pikuach nefesh. What does he mean, lo pirish mishum pikuach nefesh? I thought I understood this. Second, he named Rama positive of Arvalo Mosar Nafsho is me Kalma Komhu Anus, which means he's not punished. Will appearish me Shum Pikuch Nefesh. Okay, I don't know. He's saying something that's a dumber portion here. I mean, it's like A equals A. Obviously, if the Torah tells you Ahori Val Yavar, then there's no Pikuch Nefesh. I mean, that's exactly what's being said over here. So and therefore, Ovar Lo Mosar Nafsho, you can't tell me Pikuch Nefesh. I mean, if it was Pikuch Nefesh, then you'd say he's allowed to do it. He is Ovar Lo Mosar Nafsho. And the answer is that even though there's no Heter of Pikuch Nefesh, nonetheless, he's not going to be punished. Why not? Because he was under duress. He was being forced. Good. V'zeu gzeres hakosu d'chol nafshecha, notos nafshecha, v'ilu haya Pikuch Nefesh doche, lo haya maise isu, lo yeshayach yehorig v'al yav. Ilu hoya pikuach nefesh doche. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's saying, you know, I'm looking at this thinking, what's the profound, deep chiddush over here? He's just saying a dover posh. He's saying that if it was pikuach nefesh doche, then that's exactly what the Torah is telling you, that you violate the aveir for the sake of pikuach nefesh. But here the Torah is saying that you have to give up your life. Why? Because there is no pikuach nefesh. Elo what? What happens? Can we punish you now? You know, now you violated Avera and there was no mati, there was no heter. V'aramban mashma, divashar mitzvah faresi avi pikuach nefesh doche. In other words, in shar mitzvahs, even in faresi, there's a doche of pikuach nefesh. Rak de kiddush Hashem machayvo. So let's say, for example, if he were to violate any one of the shar mitzvahs b'faresi, right? Would he get punished for that? Yeah. And the answer is no. For sure he wouldn't get punished. Why? Because there's no Avera over here. This, you know, the Torah says, V'chaibu en v'lo shiyomis behem. In other words, again, in the Gimel Averis Chamuros, you can have a Havamina that maybe he should be punished. Why? Because there's no Pikuach Nefesh to be Docha. And the answer is, he's still an Onus. And that's a big Chiddush of the Rambam. But in the case of Shabbat Mitzvah for Hesia, there for sure there's no avera chamura, and pikuach nefesh should be docha. The answer is there's a new mitzvah, says Ramban, of Kiddush Hashem. Okay, he's in violation of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but you can't punish him for eating chaz atreif. Aval kosher. Kosher lalo dover zesh yechiv Kiddush Hashem b'tzir she'ah. See, here's where the Rav has boxed himself into a corner here. Because the Rav Shita is that in Shara Averos b'farhesya, there's no Avera. It means pikuach nefesh, and that's Docha. It's only a mitzvah save Kiddush Hashem. But that's a problem, because there's no Kiddush Hashem unless you're doing an Avera. And now you're telling me there's no Avera. In other words, once you activate pikuach nefesh and v'chai b'hem, there could not be possibly a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The Ramban's whole structure is mirabs and nigra. It can't be possible. Why? Because once you tell me there's a matir of pikuach nefesh, so where's the avera? There is no avera. If there's no avera, how could that generate Kiddush Hashem? I'll tell you what I think the answer to this question is. That the halacha of pikuach nefesh, just 1 second, is only a patur onshin, but it still remains a ma'aser. Just 1 second, does that make any sense? What am I saying? That now, that what? That the Torah says that you have to give up your life for sha'aveiros b'far hesya. I there's no avera. Now, what I just said is right, but it's wrong. Meaning, it's right in the mathematics, but it can't be right to say that because you have a pikuach, that despite the fact that you have pikuach nefesh, nevertheless you're engaged in an avera. No. You hear the question, there's something called hutra dechuyo. What would you say about pikuach nefesh? Is that hutra dechuyo? What's your intuition? Let's see if I'm on the same wavelength as you, on the same radar speed. What would you say, Rabbi Osa? Really? Wow, so I'm on a different radar speed. I mean, the Gemara says that if there's pikuach nefesh, then the Gadol Shel Yisrael should volunteer, right? And not only that, there's no din of shinui, you don't have to do it this way or that way, just go ahead and do it. And don't start calculating. I would have said that pikuach nefesh is a total matir. And if it's a total matir, then the Rav has really boxed himself into a corner, because he's applying pikuach nefesh on Shara Veis b'farhesya, and then he's turning around and the Ramban is saying that the Ramban holds it's a separate mitzvah pikuach nefesh of Kiddush Hashem. How can it be mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? The Rav says there's no Kiddush Hashem without an avera. So you're going to have to say that pikuach nefesh is only dechuya, not hutra. That's counterintuitive, you know, to say that the Torah allows you to violate an avera for the sake of saving someone's life, but you violate an avera. You know, I'm thinking of the issue of eating macholos asuras. You know, do you make a bracha if you're a cholos yesh bo sakon? The rabbi arrived at the end of Hilchos Brachos. Maybe that's a machlokas where pikuach nefesh is hutra dechuya. But I was always, I was always raised with the since I drank my mother's milk, it was always pikuach nefesh is a matir. You hear the question? That's what he says. Let's see it inside once. Aval kasha lalom dover zeh. How do we understand this Ramban? She'echiv kiddush Hashem, and yet this pikuach nefesh that's dochem, v'eino osa avera. Yeah, the answer is that pikuach nefesh is only a dochem, but it's not a matir. The im yesh pikuach nefesh arei ein avera, so how can it be kiddush Hashem?
What do you mean it's a doch? It's a doch that he did it more than one time?
No, what I'm suggesting is that the answer to the Rav's problem, which I don't think the Rav is willing to accept, is that pikuach nefesh is an avera. You're doing an avera, but the Torah allows you to do an avera. But you're still doing an avera. I'll give you an example. Let's say, we've mentioned the Rambam about making a bracha. Well, I'll give you another example. Do you have to do everything in your in your possible repertoire in order to avoid the avera. You know what I mean? You have to do it with shinui and so forth and so on. What else can I tell you? Oh, here's another thing. Would you say, would you apply kivlei b'derabanan to a case of pikuach nefesh, right? So if you're telling me it's a maisa avera, then maybe we would apply kivlei b'derabanan, but if it's just a matir, then it's not relevant to kivlei b'derabanan. You know, you can't knock off any other chiyuvim. Let's say if while you were violating the Shabbos, you ripped someone's begadim and he wants to sue you for damages, so we're going to tell me kivlei b'derabanan? I wasn't even involved in avera at all. But if it is an Avera, but just a Docha, maybe you could say Kumlai Rabbi, like Chayim Yisra Shogigin, according to, who is it? From the Chuni Ben Akona, whatever it is. Okay, Rabbi, so let's stop here. If somebody could help me by making a note of where we got up to, because I would say we're more than halfway finished. I think we have all the structures here. Does anybody have a pencil that I could borrow? If not, I'll just use a pen. That's good enough. So again, we're on the bottom of page 206. Oh, you have a pencil? Thank you. Bottom of page 206, Imkein La Rambam, which is about how many lines up from the bottom? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the Rambam. Okay, then let's make a note of it if you can help me with that. And we'll finish this up later on Yom Rishon. So I wish everyone a great Shabbos. What is it, Parashas Parah? No, Parah was last one. We're up to Achodesh. Yeah, things are flying by. It's going too fast.
I found a Yemeni Haggadah. Yeah. His Kiddush is extremely long. I don't know the Shem Nusach, but it's...
I gotta see it.
And then he has, right before Manishtam, says, Mechassim is Amatzos. Chakach Mosgen Kosheni. Vaminag Ladiach Kos Tachol Arva Kosos with all Piyach Kabbalah.
Wow. Who is this?
This is it's a Haggadah Nusach Yudei Tuman and Shpachat Zachariah.
Wow. Can you print that out for me? I mean, that's...
The whole Haggadah, that's 98 pages.
No,
just a lot of very interesting things in there.
Yeah, I wish I had time for all this, but at least that page,